The Sacramento Delta provides drinking water for millions of Californians, but it's maintained with jury-rigged levees, and that's led many experts to feel that the region may be in big trouble and could even become a California version of New Orleans' Lower Ninth Ward. With me now is Barry Nelson, Western Water Project Director for the Natural Resources Defense Council, the NRDC. Welcome to our show.
Thanks so much for having me, Leonard.
How big is California's Sacramento Delta?
Well, the Delta is an almost unknown part of California. It's really just the upper part of San Francisco Bay. Everyone's familiar with the bay that surrounds the city of San Francisco. The Delta is the upstream of almost unknown half of that estuary. It's about 1,000 square miles that stretches largely from San Francisco to the state's capital in Sacramento. It's an enormous area. Historically, a massive wetland converted about a century ago to agriculture. So it's now 1,000 square miles largely of agriculture supported by a shaky system of levees that is both a tremendously important water source and a tremendously important ecosystem.
And it is really where two rivers meet, the Sacramento and the San Joaquin?
That's right. 40% of the state of California drain through the Delta and then through San Francisco. So the entire western slope of the Sierra Nevada mountain range drains south through the Sacramento River, north through the San Joaquin River, and then flow out through the Delta and under the Golden Gate Bridge. It's little known that in the middle of one of the nation's most largest metropolitan areas, over 6 million people live in the Bay Area, the Golden Gate Bridge and the Delta are the most important salmon migration corridor in California, one of the most important in South Alaska. It's a tremendously important ecosystem in an enormous metropolitan area.
How does it compare as a source of California's drinking water with the Colorado River?
It's as a source of water, it's much larger for California than the Colorado River. And not only that, but the Delta is one of the largest single sources of urban drinking water in the country, with a urban population of 36 million people. With a total population of 36 million people, about two-thirds of those people get some portion of their water from the Bay Delta system.
The area has been called the most productive unnatural environment on Earth. Wasn't it once a mostly tidal marsh?
That's exactly right. It was once a tidal marsh that was so vast that Native Americans would form rafts and float out into the heart of the Delta and live off the land for months at a time without ever seeing solid land. Early explorers would get lost in the Delta for days. It was such a labyrinth of wetland channels. Now virtually all of that is gone and turned into agriculture, but it's a very unnatural place because it's not uncommon now to stand on one of these Delta farm islands and look at the other side of a levee and there's a ship passing you well overhead because those former wetlands, now farmlands, have subsided dramatically in some places 20, 25 or even more feet below sea level. It's really a miniature version of Holland's subsided islands that we have in the Delta. Then it very much is at risk of a New Orleans-style catastrophic flood next to New Orleans. It's one of the areas in the nation most at risk of not ankle-deep flooding, but really catastrophic flooding, and we just haven't been paying attention to the issue.
Well, it was transformed from marsh into farmland and waterways by a system of levees and dikes, and they were built quite a while back, weren't they?
That's right. The construction was started during California's gold rush. Most of those levees were built in the later half of the 19th century. They weren't engineered. They were in many cases built by laborers who, after they finished the construction of the Transcontinental Railroad, moved to California and built levees for decades.
So they were mostly Chinese laborers because they were the ones who built the railroad from the western side.
That's exactly right. One of the few rural Chinese towns in America is in the heart of the Delta, a charming little place called Locke, where you can still see the Delta's history today. Even given its importance to California, it's an almost unknown part of the state to most of California's residents.
Do these levees and dikes rely on the original construction from the 1850s?
In some cases, they do. In some cases, those levees have been reconstructed. But what's really quite shocking, given 400,000 people now live in the Delta and are at risk of flooding if those deltas were to fail, and our awareness of those flood risks are increasing, and the state as a whole is dependent on its water supply, what's really shocking is that the state of California and the Corps of Engineers, neither one of them actually has prepared a plan to reduce flooding risks in the Delta.
My guess is Barry Nelson, Western Water Project Director for the Natural Resources Defense Council. This is WNYC. If there isn't a plan, that probably goes back a long time. How long has this area been at risk? When were people first aware that there might be a problem?
Well, those islands have been slowly subsiding for many, many years, and people have been aware of that problem. But it really was a couple of years ago that people really woke up to the huge risk, and there a couple of things caused that to happen. First, of course, was Katrina and what happened in New Orleans. The second was some very influential work that came out of the University of California that exposed the major potential for not a single levee failure. We've seen those in many years, but the potential for a catastrophic series of flooding events like we saw in New Orleans. The third thing that's happened that has really catalyzed a sense that we need to change direction is that the whole Delta ecosystem really has collapsed. And given the Delta's importance to the state's fishing industry, because of that collapse, for the first time in state history this year, there's no salmon fishing in the entire state of California. The state has shut down salmon fishing for the first time in state history, and that understandably has people concerned, especially in fishing communities, but millions of fishermen in California are deeply concerned that we've really reached a breaking point, and it's focused a tremendous amount of attention on the future of the Delta and how we need to do things differently.
What impact would it have on the nation's agricultural supply? Because isn't much of our fruit and vegetable production grown in the San Joaquin Valley?
A lot of it is. It's a very important agricultural region. About 80% of the water pumped out of the Bay Delta, even with all of those California residents, about 80% of the water pumped out of the Bay Delta system is used by agriculture. Much of that used on low value and surplus crops. Much of that used, and this is, I think, one of the reasons it's important that this be recognized as a national issue, national taxpayers subsidize the cost of that water, subsidize the energy, and subsidize many of the crops grown with that water. It's a very important agricultural region, but we have economic policies that encourage farmers to make all the wrong decisions.
The levees have failed in the past, haven't they, in June 2004?
We kind of read
about that in our local newspapers, and then nobody did much of a follow-up.
That's right. It was a single island that failed, and it stopped pumping from the Delta system for a couple of weeks, and it really was one of those wake-up calls. That island failed in the summer. There was no storm. There was no earthquake. It just failed one morning. And it was a very disruptive event, but that was just a single island. There are dozens of islands in the Delta, and the concern is if the wrong island fails at the wrong time or if it's triggered by an earthquake, we could see a series of islands fail, and the results could be truly catastrophic. Catastrophic for the residents of the Delta, catastrophic for the Delta ecosystem, and catastrophic for water supply if it happened in the summer and suddenly the largest pumps in the world, those pumps in the Delta, the largest pumps in the world, suddenly those pumps are pumping salty bay water instead of fresh Delta water.
Now, how has it withstood the earthquakes of the past? Because this is an earthquake-prone area, isn't it?
It is. There has not been a major earthquake on the faults in the Delta region for decades, and the risk, because some of those islands are still subsiding, the risks have been increasing over time. So you're absolutely right. Those islands withstood the 1906 earthquake, which was not the closest fault to the Delta, but most importantly, those islands didn't look then like they look today.
So here we are in a situation where now we're talking about climate change as well, perhaps raising sea levels. Is that also a concern here?
It absolutely is a concern. In places like the Delta, very much like New Orleans and the state of Florida, people are looking at climate change and asking hard questions about what it means for the future of a low-lying place like the Delta. Climate change is going to raise sea level that makes life more difficult. Climate change in the West is almost certain to reduce the amount of water in our system. So California is a water-short state today, and we have for decades, the unstated policy of the state of California is next year we can always take more water from the Delta. And we've really reached a point because of the Delta ecosystem and because of climate change. We now recognize that that's just not a sustainable strategy.
You said,
and that's an important realization.
You said earlier that part of the problem is a lack of funding. Who should have been doing that funding? Is this a California situation or is this a federal situation?
Well, federal taxpayers have been picking up the tab for supporting agriculture in the Central Valley for a long time. We think it makes more sense for federal dollars to spend improving the situation rather than worsening it. And frankly, that's what federal tax dollars have done with water policy in California. The state of California is going to have to spend a lot of money in the Delta. But one of the real problems is that those who take water from the Delta have largely refused to pay to help solve the Delta's problem. For example, the farmers who divert water south of the Delta don't spend a nickel to maintain the levees that they depend on so strongly. So we think that a solution to the Delta, which will certainly cost many tens of billions of dollars, will have to be paid for by the California public. There'll be some federal contribution, but we're very realistic about the condition of the federal budget. The big change is going to have to be water users who take water from the Delta have to start contributing to solve the Delta's problems.
Hasn't a canal been proposed as one of those solutions?
It has been. Decades ago, a canal was proposed called the Peripheral Canal, and the reason it was called that was that the idea was to build a canal that took water from the Sacramento River north of the Delta that went around the periphery of the Delta and delivered water to those pumps in the southern Delta. It was rejected, actually, by California's voters 25 years ago very soundly and has been pretty much a forgotten water project for 25 years. That project has now been revived as a possible project, in part because of concerns about sea level rise. The problem is that the debate about this so-called peripheral canal, a very controversial project, has really largely been a theoretical discussion rather than one where people put proposals on the table that really are subjected to real analysis.
So what would be a realistic solution? What kind of redesign would make sense?
Well, there's no silver bullet for the Delta's problems. The debate about a peripheral canal has been largely unproductive because people haven't actually put specific proposals on the table. Here's what kind of canal, here's what it would cost, here's who'd pay, here's how much water we'd divert, and importantly, here are the impacts. The farmers in the Delta, for example, are deeply concerned about that canal because they're afraid that if that canal is built, the farmers in the Delta could be irrigating their land with salt water, putting them out of business. So the solution is going to be write a flood management plan for the Delta that actually works. We need a serious habitat restoration program in the Delta to restore the Delta's ecosystem, but also reduce the cost of maintaining all of those Delta levees. And then we also are going to have to reduce our reliance on the Delta. We simply can't continue the pattern of taking more and more water from the Delta every year. We need to take less water from that system. We've really reached a tipping point in California on the biggest river system. We've reached that point on a lot of other rivers in California, but we finally seen that happen on the biggest system.
There's an article about the Sacramento Delta in the current issue of NRDC's magazine On Earth. We posted it on our show page at WNYC.org if listeners want to learn more. And my great thanks to Barry Nelson, who is Western Water Project Director for the NRDC, for talking with us today on our underreported series.
Thanks so much.